The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday, May 9th, 2021. And thank you for joining us for the Fear the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. And also special love to our show regular and friend and helper, Joan, who is here with us. So let's give everybody some applause. Thank you, guys. Wow. Have I been muted for the last 16 minutes? That would really tick me off. Oh, 8:36, 6 minutes. Okay, not too dire. Joan, you hear me now? Because I'm getting feedback from the chat room that nobody can hear me, which makes me a sad panda. I feel like I'm getting some, I am having some headphones fuckery tonight, and I think that might be the problem. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Since apparently we didn't hear anything for the last 6 minutes after the music and all of that bit, I'm going to go back and say all this again for you guys so that you don't miss it. Most of this the regulars know, but you never know when we're going to have a first-time listener, so I repeat things. All right, so thank you for calling my attention to that, Joan. Sorry that my headphones are being butt faces. And good evening, everybody, and welcome again. It's not 8:30 anymore. It's 8:37. It's Sunday, May 9th. God, I'm so flustered after that. I'm trying to keep it together and get back. All right, May 9th, 2021. Thank you for joining us for the Fear the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro. Special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media, as well as our regular and helper in the chat room, Joan, who keeps me on my toes with these sorts of things. So thank you for all of that, all of you. Okay. Got to keep talking. Y'all have heard this spiel, so I'm going to run through it real quick. Tonight's show contains spoilers that have stuff all the way up to last week's episode and possible stuff from anything that AMC has put out there promoting this week's episode. So if you are not current, that's a you problem. That's not my problem because we are current here. But we will not spoil anything from the episode that has not yet aired. In fact, I deliberately don't watch it even though I have AMC Plus and I can. All right. Welcome to Fear, Season 6, Episode 12. Fear continues the back half of Season 6 through June 6th. And there are four more episodes to the Season 6 Fear finale. World Beyond Season 2 is still currently supposed to air sometime, quote, in late 2021, blah, blah, blah. this means when Fear ends, June 13th, 2021 would be the first potential slot for anything else to run. And it has 10 episodes in Season 2, predetermined. And this would take us to August 15th. Now, we can do math. Here's the next part. Told you all this last week when we had an update. The Walking Dead Classic Season 11 has announced officially that they return on August 22nd, not the traditional October. So that's the following weekend after the 15th. So we're either looking at what I've predicted, mid-June, or else a very late fall after Walking Dead Classic. Here's the problem. We have no idea how many episodes are going to run before the traditional hiatus split, nor if any will run concurrently, as they did in 2020. You know, where you have episode of Walking Dead at 9, episode of World Beyond at 10, or other kinds of piggybacking. We have no idea how many episodes before they cut or whether anybody's going to piggyback. So it just kind of makes sense to neatly fit in with the above dates. So I predict mid-June start for World Beyond between Fear and Walking Dead Classic Season 11. That's how I think it's going to go down this year. All right, fourth season, Carol and Daryl stuff. I told you guys about all this already. Blah, 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 blah. 24 episodes in Walking Dead Classic. None of this Carol and Daryl or any other stuff is happening until Walking Dead Classic wraps up all 24 episodes and any bonuses and other foolishness going on. Angela Kang is going to be the showrunner, and I'm giving some more applause because we like her. broken parts of the show, and she's very super good at that. We love you a whole lot. By the way, Scott Gimple says it's possible that in the episodic anthology, Tales of the Walking Dead, one of the episodes could be about the full plane crash sequence from World Beyond's pilot episode, Brave. It was filmed in Hopewell, Virginia, which is right outside Richmond. I got an audition notice for it, but I can't do that. Gimple also hinted that Madison Clark from Fear might appear in an episode. I am still predicting that they put the characters in Fear near Dallas because Madison ended up back at the stadium and is not dead. I still insist this is going to happen, but then again, they clowned me when they didn't bring back Emma Caulfield as Tracy What's-Her-Face in the Ranch season 3, whatever it was. I can't remember her name. Joan can probably find it later. Anyhow, typically we start the show a half hour before the new episode airs live each week. If I'm not an idiot, mess up my headphones and microphone and just talk to the air for 6 minutes. So typically it's 8:30 we start. Recaps from the previous episode and discussion of what's going to come tonight. 9 p.m. we go dark or mute. We watch it together. Rate the episode from 1 to 10 in between during the commercials. 1 is, oh my God, get this dreck out of my face. And rating it a 10 means this is absolutely perfect. More of this, please. And we give commentary during the commercial breaks. We also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free, so please don't discuss spoilers about tonight's episode or stuff about the comics in the chat room or on the air, because we want to just talk about and react to what we've been given and no extra cookies that make it weird. All right, call in to speak with the host, 914-338-0314 at any time, but I especially encourage you to do that before 9 o'clock because we can talk more freely. You're welcome to call during the live episode after 9 p.m., but you will be screened and muted until the next commercial break where we can chat on the air. If you don't like talking on the phone, you can come to the live chat room and just type, and you can listen to the show real time as well as go back to that link. After the show's over, they archive it, and you can download it as an episode like an MP3 podcast. You can listen to it on the link, or I also believe we're on iTunes, so you can do all that stuff. We have the links for that on our Facebook page and usually my Twitter. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening or for any of our previous episodes, you can still go back to the link later and download the broadcast or just listen to it. So go to the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page if you want to download. Otherwise, just hit play. All right. Tonight's episode of Fear is entitled In Dreams. The official AMC synopsis is, Grace wakes up with a case of amnesia, seeing what's become of her friends after she's been gone for years. She struggles to put the puzzle pieces together on what has transpired. So we don't know exactly what's going on. I feel like this is a dream sequence, hallucination, a made-up story, but it's interesting. But it also feels weird because they're stalling after what happened to Alicia, which kind of makes me think that what's happened to Alicia is major because we only have 4 episodes left, and I think that might be set up. I'm predicting set up for Madison's return. I could be wrong. That's fine. I'll eat my crow if I am, like a good girl. All right. So typically what I often do is the synopses are really short, so I'll go get some other synopses off of the interwebs for you guys. And I did grab one. I've tried to narrow it just to one. Occasionally I'll get 2 or 3, depending on what they've got to say and if there's stuff we need to see. Okay, so this one is from not one of our most regular sources, but maybe a secondary source that we use occasionally. It's denofgeek.com. And they have to say, the title is Fear the Walking Dead Reveals Morgan and Grace's Future Daughter. It's by John Saavedra. Yeah, I have read his stuff before, but we don't do it regularly. Grace sees the future in the opening minutes of Fear the Walking Dead, Season 6, Episode 12, In Dreams. This is not really a spoiler because the fact that this is a future possible dream episode, I don't think it's a time jump. This is all in the trailer, so this is not spoiling anything that AMC hasn't already ruined. All right, I'm going to check the chat room real quick. Ah, yes, Joan found for me Emma Caulfield was Tracy Otto. And I did get clowned with that prediction, but I don't know. If they ever get Angela Kang to give Andrew and Ian some advice, she should bring characters like that back, because I would just love to see returns of them. But anyhow, let's go to what's going on now. Let's go to the article. See if it's 8:45, so I'm sure we can get this in and some other stuff before we go dark. All right. So Morgan has had to walk a very hard path in Fear the Walking Dead Season 6. Left for dead by Virginia and later hunted by an axe-wielding murderer, the veteran hero of the zombie apocalypse had to find a reason to live. It wasn't easy. His friends taken and scattered, lead poisoning slowly killing him. Notice I don't remember why it didn't eventually. Am I forgetting an episode where they got him some final treatment for that? Or I don't know. It just seems like all of a sudden he's over it. Or that could be Ian and Andrew being sloppy. I'm sorry, guys. I know you're showrunners, but we're real unhappy with how this is going. So I think you should take Angela out for coffee, bribe her with a nice dinner, and get some advice. All right. Back to the article. All hope for building a better world gone. It truly seemed like this would be the end of the line for Morgan. But everybody loves a good redemption story. Well, the article says they do. Most people do. The first half of Season 6 was all about Morgan and his friends finding the strength within themselves to continue living despite being separated and alone. Ultimately, even the terrors they suffered under Virginia's rule weren't enough to tear our heroes apart. Yeah, I'm going to slightly call that one out. I do think there's serious damage to their dynamic. All right. With a new lease on life and a more laissez-faire attitude towards chopping people's heads off, Morgan has been building a new place for his friends to live, somewhere where they can truly begin to build a new, better world and be safe from future villains like Virginia. With new enemies already rising up, it'll be interesting to see if the walls of this new settlement actually hold. In the meantime, this Sunday's episode, In Dreams, takes us on a wild trip. Just listen to the synopsis I've already read you. And then they said, if that sounds trippy, wait till you see the big twist in the opening minutes of the episode, which we can exclusively reveal below. And it's a video clip that's one of the teasers, and they say, meet Athena, Morgan and Grace's daughter from the future, at least in this dream sequence, which also features old man Morgan, who is now the leader of a large and seemingly impenetrable settlement complete with sentries. If you recall, the big twist at the very end of season 5 is that Grace was pregnant with Morgan's child. I got to call shenanigans on that too. I was under the impression that Grace had been pregnant when she was at the nuclear, whatever she was doing for work. I thought she came to Morgan pregnant, just barely pregnant, and she barely knew she was pregnant because she was getting sick off and on, and they had to figure it out. But I did not think it was Morgan's. So I got to call shenanigans on that one. We shall see. Joan may find a cookie that helps us settle it, but that's what the article says anyway. Unfortunately, Grace was taken away by the pioneers just as Morgan learned the truth. Yes, I know Morgan is taking the place of Father because I think Father died. Needless to say, Morgan has been trying to get back to Grace ever since. But In Dreams takes us 16 years into the future, a wild time jump that seems to show a future that could be, except for one obvious alteration. And I hope tonight's show will make this make sense, because so far it's dumb. Neither Morgan nor Athena know who Grace is. This is in the trailer, not a spoiler. Worst of all, Grace can't remember her own name either, but she remembers Morgan. The clip ends with Morgan leading Athena and Grace into the settlement, where it sounds like we'll find future versions of some of our other favorite characters. Might John Dory be alive in this alternate future? Anything's possible. Whatever's going on in this episode, it does look like In Dreams is one of the most ambitious episodes of Fear the Walking Dead yet. I don't know about that. It is interesting, though, and it's not the same old shit. This is me talking. Find out for sure when it airs Sunday. That is the end of it. Okay, so there's that. Let's see if Joan has quite a bit to say. So let's see what Joan has to say. She says, I'm really hoping it isn't a time jump. It doesn't seem that would fit right now. I agree with you because they already did way too many time jumps to make all three shows come together to do the thing they swore they weren't doing, which is line them up for Rick's movie, which is totally what I think they're doing. So if they got this all in line, having a for real time jump is incredibly stupid. Angela, come spank these boys. Joan says, nope, bad writing. Miracle cure for Morgan, bad writing for the show. So in other words, Andrew and Ian totally dropped the ball on how the hell Morgan was so near death and had this stuff in his eyes, like red eyes and the lead poisoning. And how did that just magically go away? And I am also correct about Grace's, the actual father, the sire of her baby, wasn't, Morgan and her may have had something together, but she was pregnant by that, so it isn't his. Unless they had another kid after the first one, we have more bad writing. Shocking, yeah. I don't get the impression from what I could see from official materials. I get the distinct impression from commentary and things in the video that Athena is the baby she's carrying right this minute. So if there are more kids, it's not spelled out very well. All right, 8:51, let me see. I've done the article, so let's see what else is on the roster that I can squeeze in the next 9 minutes. Writers and directors profiles. Okay, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's written by Andrew Chambliss, Ian Goldberg, and Nazreen Chaudhry. And I feel very bad because I got going on Andrew and Ian's bios, and I neglected to put a bio for Nazreen. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and read all the rest of them, and then during the break, I'm going to pull up a thing and look up this on my usual source where I get all the other bios. Fear, Walking Dead, Wikia, which is one of the main sites I get my cookies from. All right, blah, 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 blah. Here we go. So I'm not going to read this to you now. I'm going to clean it up and give it to you in a hot minute. I just wanted to peek real quick. Mostly I'm interested in, is this somebody's first? Okay, I will write this up for you, especially because Nazreen Chaudhry is, appears to be female. And this is, in fact, her very first time working on the, oh, no, I beg your pardon. She did Welcome to the Club, so I do probably have some research I can just copy-paste over, and I'll take care of that during the commercial break so I don't interrupt what I'm doing now with this stuff. But I will get you her bio. Let's read the other ones. You've heard them 100 times before because it's all people we know. Tonight's director is Satra. So I'm just going to read over. I did shortened versions of these because we know these guys. We've heard them a million times. Let's see if Joan has comments. No more comments, so let us go on to bios for writers and directors. All right. Andrew Chambliss has been the co-showrunner for Fear since season 4 opened. He has been profiled multiple times before. Chambliss has been heavily involved as a producer for Once Upon a Time for several seasons from 2012 to 2017. He has been a story editor for Vampire Diaries, Spartacus, Dollhouse, and Bionic Woman, the 2007 version. He has previously written or co-written 11 episodes of Fear, starting with season 4, episode 1, What's Your Story, and the last previous one being season 6, episode 8, The Door. So you helped kill John Dory, you bastard. Okay, I'm being funny. All right, 10 of the 11 episodes he's done, he co-wrote with Goldberg. Tonight will be his 12th episode written for the franchise. He is also slated to co-write Fear Season 6, Episode 16, Season Finale, The Beginning, with Ian Goldberg. Yes, this means I have titles for the rest of the season, but not a lot else yet. I will get you what I have later. All right. Let's go to the next one. Ian Goldberg has been co-executive producer and showrunner along with Andrew Chambliss since the start of Season 4 of Fear. He's also been profiled multiple times before. Goldberg also worked on Once Upon a Time as a writer and producer, as well as other TV shows. He has previously written or co-written 12 episodes of Fear. They didn't do the same 11 or 12, so the numbers don't come out exact because they co-write a lot, but then once in a while they don't. All right, so his started out with season 4, episode 1, What's Your Story, and the last previous is also The Door. But in between is slightly different agenda. 11 of the 12 he's done were co-written with Chambliss. Tonight will be his 13th episode he has written for the franchise. He's also slated to co-write season 6, episode 16, season finale with Andrew. Okay, Nazreen will come back to. Let's read Satro. It's 8:56, so let's try to get this in. Michael Edison, Satro Zemis, nicknamed Satro, has extensive movie and TV credits to his name, so we will just summarize and update his entry. Satro was some former camera operator for 15 episodes of Walking Dead, starting with Guts, season 1, episode 2 in 2010. He was second unit director of photography for 3 episodes until 2013. He then became director of photography from 2013 to 17, ending with Walking Dead season 8, episode 3, Monsters. He has directed 17 prior episodes of Walking Dead, starting with The Grove season 4, episode 14, and up to season 10, episode 11, Morningstar. All right. He's been co-executive producer for Fear since season 4, episode 1 in 2018 to present. That's 40 episodes so far. He has directed 11 prior episodes of Fear, 5 in season 4, 5 in season 5, 2 in season 6 so far. 12. I cannot math. I apologize because it is not math. All right. Tonight will not be his 12th, but I guess his 13th. For Fear, and the last previous episode was season 6, episode 8, The Door. He's also slated to direct the season finale along with Ian and Andrew writing the script. Okay, so let's go ahead and give them some applause for that. At some point during the commercial break, I'll scare that up for you and read it because we want to give everybody some credit. All right, the next thing up is trivia. I will read what I can because it's 8:57, so I don't want to drag too much into the opening. All right, trivia about tonight's episode. It's the 81st episode of Fear ever. It's the first appearance of the character Athena. She is a hallucinated version of Grace's unborn child approximately 16 years into the future. She is played by Tamil American actor Sahana Srinivasan. Srinivasan. The title of the episode, In Dreams, is the same as the Roy Orbison song. They've been doing that quite a bit lately. This is the fifth time an episode's title is the title of a song that plays in the episode. The first being This Land Is Your Land. Second is Sleigh Ride. Third is End of the Line. And the fourth was Handle With Care just recently. And one of the cultists who appears in the episode is played by a stuntman who was a savior in the episode Mercy in season 8 of The Walking Dead. Oddly, they found this out, but they did not give me their name, and I could not figure it out on my own. So, give the stunt person cookies, whoever it was. All right, 8:59, so I am probably going to wrap this up and pause here, and I will read the co-stars and all that other stuff at commercial break number 1. So thank you for joining us, and I'll see y'all at the next break. Okay, testing. I'm not sure what I think about the opening just yet. I'm going with a 4.75. Joan says, very strange. Let's see what she thinks ratings-wise of it. I don't think it was horrible. You know, it's fairly straightforward, but it's more just weird and surreal. And that could be a good episode, but they could also butcher it. She's starting with 4.5. Okay, that's fine. In the meantime, while we were watching the episode, I did find Nazreen's bio. So let's go back and give her some credit while we have an opportunity, hopefully, from the Book of Saw, something, something, and Scary Burger King Dude. All right. Nazreen Chaudhry is a British TV series writer, producer, and actress, best known for her radio dramas and extensive work in American television. Chaudhry was born in southwest London, England, the youngest of five children to first-generation Bangladeshi parents. She graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Biomedical Science from King's College London with a view to becoming a doctor, but then completed an MA in screenwriting at the Northern Film School, having received a Film 4 Productions Channel 4 award. She did a little bit of acting, but got her start behind the scenes in 2002, working as a story associate on the long-running UK TV soap Coronation Street. Chaudhry scripted episodes of British television serials such as Casualty, Doctors, EastEnders, and Waterloo Road. Her critically acclaimed radio play, Mixed Blood, won the Richard Emerson Award in 2006. Chaudhry is currently based in Los Angeles and is married. She mentioned in an interview that she drew on her own experiences as a Bangladeshi woman married to a white man for her work on Mixed Blood. I'm trying to keep an eye on whether we're going back yet or not. And this looks like we're back. Okay, so I'm... See you guys at break number two. Okay, guys, we are at commercial break number two, and it's 9:15. Joan is staying at 4.5. I'm going to go to 5 reluctantly because I don't really feel like getting into the minutia of something like 4.8. And Joan has said, wow, fairy tale happy, this better be a dream because it sure doesn't seem to fit in with the Walking Dead universe. And I agree. The whole thing is very strange, but I do pretty much think it's a hallucination. But if you remember, we did see a very quick snip of other people doing medical stuff, just like 3 seconds. And I kind of think they're doing medical stuff to her right now, and she's in labor, and it's making her dream the rest. And it's very possible that this ends up with them losing her. I don't know. So Alicia is live and well back at the stadium, but she was in mortal peril when we last saw her. Explanation for that is, well, because it's 16 years later, that's what. I mean, that's a valid explanation. I would like to know how the hell she got out of it 16 years ago. But then again, I think the whole thing is a dream sequence, so I don't know how much detail they're going to get into. But anyway, that's what's going on with that. I now have gotten Nazreen's bio, so we'll go back to trivia. 9:16, we have a second, so let's pick back up co-stars from this week's episode. Mary Catherine Duhon as adult Charlie, and Sean Ketting, K-O-E-T-T-I-N-G, as adult Max. Max is a survivor of the outbreak. He was a former resident of Camp Cackleberries, part of the little trio, you know, Max, Annie, and Dylan, the siblings. They escaped, and he joined Morgan's group, and they were forcibly split up and resettled into Virginia's various settlements. So I guess adult Max made it back there in the hallucination. And I don't even know if Grace knew about adult Max very well, so not sure what to say. Uncredited, no one was announced. Death, of course, comes later, so we don't have those. All right. This looks like an advertisement for World Beyond. Maybe, maybe not. It's something else. Okay. Real quick, last episode, trivia, the holding, episode 11. We have first appearance of Sabrina, a cult member. First appearance of Riley, who's a cult lieutenant. First appearance of Teddy, who's the cult leader. First appearance of the location of the holding, cult HQ in Dallas. First and last appearance of Derek, Wes's brother, who died. First and last appearance of Harvey, cult embalmer. And last appearance in Fear continuity timeline of the Civic Republic military, zombified, you know, the people that Althea found for one and thought one of them might be Isabel. Okay. We have a couple minutes yet because there's an Uber commercial. Let's see. The title of the episode, The Holding, refers to the underground bunker that the Doomsday Cult is based in. We are back now. I'll read you the rest at break number three. Okay, guys, it's 9:25. Am I at commercial break number 3 or 4? I think, I want to say it's 3, but I cannot actually be certain. We scored once, we scored twice. I guess it's 3. All right, Joan is at 5:25. I was at 5, and I actually am feeling like going to 5:25 now. It's starting to make more sense. I think some of those other little sequences should have been slightly longer. They were too quick to derive any sense of context that might start pointing us down the road that we needed to be on. All right. So let's go back to notes. By the way, we have a new vocabulary word. Another nickname for walkers is husks, apparently. That's something Athena uses. Okay. Trivia. All right, trivia for last episode. Here we go. The title of the episode, The Holding, refers to the underground bunker the Doomsday Cult is based in. Wes briefly references the events of Channel 4, and You're Still Here, when he tells Derek that the destruction of his motorcycle is a long story. It's revealed that the Doomsday Cult were responsible for the destruction of the funeral home scene in Alaska, being the episode called Alaska. This was possibly foreshadowed by the embalmed walker that Althea and Dwight encountered at the funeral home as the cult took the embalming equipment and used it on other walkers. Al discovers CRM maps in Derek's possession, identical to the ones that she had found on Beckett in the episode Here to Help. As a result, Al believes that the plague infestation of the Creative Visionaries Agency was aimed at the CRM drop site, not Nora's group. Interesting twist. A few callbacks to the episodes Here to Help and The End of Everything are made. The maps presumably came from a zombified CRM soldier that Al finds in the bunker, similar to how Al found them on the zombified Beckett. Isabel had warned Al that if someone finds the maps on or Al's tape of them and figures out how to read them, they could do a lot of damage to CRM and what they're trying to build. Using the maps, the cult has been targeting CRM drop sites and attempting to destroy the group. Double-checking we're not back yet. All right, Al takes the matches from the dead CRM soldier to set the fire in the holding. Isabella had previously carried matches that she had used to destroy Al's tape and Beckett's corpse. The match container is also identical to Isabel's, and Al witnessing Isabel using them is most likely how she knew to find them on the walker. Al and Dwight discuss Isabel and her being beer lady, which is presumably a reference to the beer that Al and Isabel had shared during their night on CRM's fuel drop. All right. Trailer for something called Profile in theaters on Friday. And trailer for something else I'll keep reading. Further trivia. Alicia setting the holding on fire is similar to Daniel Salazar's actions in Shiva when he sets a winery on fire. That belonged to, brunch. I've forgotten it. Brunch with, who's the black actor that played the rich guy who had a boyfriend? I've totally lost it. I've got aphasia so bad. Joan will probably remind me in just a second. That winery got set on fire by Daniel. Madison Clark and No One's Gone. Alicia also briefly mentions Madison's sacrifice while talking with Riley. Derek is revealed to have been the one to organize the attack on Tanktown and other communities. He was also the one behind at least some of the end is the beginning messages. We're back now. I will shut up and see you guys at break number 4. Okay, guys, it's 9:36. I don't remember where at break 4 or 5. I know we haven't hit 5 yet. I guess we're at 4. Joan's at 5:25. I'm willing to go to 5:05. but I'm not entirely sure the show is good enough. I think it's me being sentimental, but I'm going to do it anyway. All right, it's 9:37. Let me find my place in the trivia, and I will keep going. Okay. Despite having attacked the funeral home, it's not shown in Derek's mural of all the locations that have been attacked. However, the mural is not yet completed when Wes finds it. Several other communities destroyed by the cult include a bridge camp, a motel, an elementary school, and at least one other community. It's interesting. I wonder if the motel was actually Virginia's original camp. This marks the first time since the episode Wrong Side of Where You Are Now, where Alicia has directly killed living people. She indirectly caused a few deaths in Welcome to the Club and damage from the inside. All right. Other cast, co-stars from last week. Dean Neistat played Harvey. Jessica Perrin played Sabrina. And Sarah Danko is worker number two. Uncredited. Bobby Hernandez and Paul Michael Youngblood were holding cultists. Maxie Jin, Carmela Harper, Ken Edwards, and Mallory Thompson were Valley Town residents, and there was an unknown actor as a CRM soldier. Double-checking, we're still in commercials. Okay, deaths. Derek Harvey, one unnamed CRM soldier, zombified, many unnamed captives zombified, and many unnamed cultists confirmed fate. There is a goof error blooper from last week when Al shows Wes Derek's notes as proof he knew about the Tanktown attack. The book is open to his notes about the elementary school, not Tanktown. All right, double-checking. We are still in commercials. Cast birthdays this week. I'm going to go ahead and go through these even if we run over. All right, Dallas Mark Roberts played Milton, the Woodbury doctor. His birthday will be May 10th, and he's from Houston. Madison Porter Lentz, who is Sophia, May 11th, and she's from Atlanta. Samantha Jane Morton, who was Alpha of the Whisperers, May 13th. She's from Clifton, Nottingham, England. Alexandra Alex Breckenridge played Jesse in Alexandria, May 15th, from Darien, Connecticut. And Carrie Payton, who plays King Ezekiel, May 16th, from Augusta, Georgia. So happy birthday. All righty. We are still in a commercial, so let's see what else I can slip in real quick. Featured music from last week, there was nothing mentioned. Unaccounted for characters we're not doing. There is no talking dead couch. Super mad about that. I think it's really dumb because Fear should have a couch as well. All right. Still in commercial. Well, maybe not. Maybe the end of this one. Yeah, it is. All right, I'll see you guys at break number five. I'll give you the back half of Fear Season 6. See you soon. Okay, we are at break number five. I'm going to stay at 5-5 and Joan's staying at 5-2-5. A lot of this dream stuff, it's not just that it's weird. It's weird in a way that is not furthering the story. Like, why all of a sudden are these other guys part of the dream? Why are they walkers? Why are they husks? Whatever. Joan was also asking, what is with all the pink plants everywhere? And asked me if I knew what they were, and I absolutely don't. I'm not a huge plant person. I don't know if maybe it'll be in the trivia. That would be nice, because I bet it has a significance to her. It's got to, since they put it all over everything. All right. So it's 9:48, so let me read for you the back half of Fear. We do have a little more data. So next week, episode 82/13 is called JD. The writers are Nick Bernadoni and Jacob Pinion. And the director is Aisha Tyler, and that's May 16th. 83/14 is called Mother. Don't have writers or directors, but it's May 23rd. 84/15 is USS Pennsylvania, and I'll bet you that has to do with Morgan's Key. don't have writers or directors for that, but it's May 30th. And then the last one, season finale, 85/16, is called The Beginning. The end is the beginning. Oh, that should be interesting. Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg wrote it, and Satro directed it. That'll be June 6th. All right. Still in commercials. So other upcoming shows on NDB Media include Monday Night in America with Roger Noriega, Monday nights 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Roger D. Noriega brings you his unique take on politics, current events, entertainment, sci-fi, and history. Currently, it is being hosted on the service StreamYard, so they have video concurrently with everything else. I'm not quite ready for my close-up yet, Mr. DeMille. Also, my office is a frickin' wreck. Fandom Access Week in Review is Tuesdays, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Join the lovable linguists Jamie, Karen, and AJ as they dive into another night of television. The Nightmare Hunter, Tuesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Roger Noriega hosts this new series on StreamYard. Check NDB Media's Facebook page for more details. The Rock and Roll Shrink, we are taking a hiatus on Wednesday the 12th, so we will not be back until, pardon my hiccups, Dr. Mathis is out of town, so we will not have an episode until Wednesday, the 26th at 11 p.m. Join me and Atlanta psychologist Dr. Stephen Mathis, PsyD, a.k.a. I'm sorry, the Rock and Roll Shrink. I'm not drinking anything, I swear, as we discuss matters of mental health and mental health. And we have an upcoming topic to be decided later, if I can ever stop hiccuping. All right, Travel Itch Radio, Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I don't yet have their next episode, the one they had way back on May 6th was Dan Schlossberg's birthday. So I don't know what the next one is yet, but that'll be on Thursdays. Twister and the Secret She Keeps. I think we're going to go back. Yeah, we are back. I'll see you guys at break number 6. All right, it's 9:59. We actually are having a commercial break number 5, 6. I hate when I can't keep track of these, but Jonah's staying at 5:25. I'm staying at 5:05, I think. It's trying to be overly dramatic and schmaltzy and weird, and I don't mind the dream sequence stuff. Its execution is odd. This is better than some of the episodes have been plot-wise, but, you know, it would be nice if this baby could make people stop fighting. Okay, fine, whatever. I don't know. Let me look at the last notes on here. I have given you guys everything that I have in notes except for the outro, which I will say when we end the show, which is going to be shortly, since it is now actually 10. I imagine we're going to bleed over just a bit because we're doing all these commercials in between instead of going straight to another show that is not The Talking Dead, about which I'm super pissed. Okay, so this is all I really know about all that bit. Joan doesn't really have anything else to say. We do this show, and World Beyond is not much better, but we're very aggravated with the whole thing. So I don't think we have a lot to say about it. Mogwai's. I don't know. Oh, Mogwai's are a Mountain Dew commercial. Oh, yeah, you better not. I it looks like it's the actor who was originally on the show. Isn't that funny? And, yeah, Mountain Dew Zero, of course, makes the Mogwai into a beast. And we have all these commercials now, but I do not have anything else to really tell you guys. So next week, we will be doing the episode JD, which I'm assuming has to do with John Dory. Actually, I'm going to try to pull that up for a quick second and see if it does actually mention anything about, you know, we did not have full information because we only got the titles tonight. So we don't really have a lot about these other episodes. Okay, so June splits off to gather information to stop an oncoming threat. I kind of wonder if this is like digging his body up again or something ridiculous like that. I don't know why it's called JD. But I want to look up Aisha Tyler real quick. They made a big deal to announce her early, but I don't know anything about her. She's from San Francisco, an actress and director. And directing JD will be the first time she's worked on this show, but they felt the need specifically to announce her in advance. All right, we're back. Let's go see the end of this hot mess. See you guys at the end. Okay, guys, it's 10:10. We are at the end. I'm actually going to end on 5:75, and I know that some of you are going to be really horrified about that. The reason I'm doing it is because I am glad to see, yes, Jonah said the same thing and done a similar thing. She's actually going up to 5:05 for probably, I'm going to guess what I'm about to say. Given all the things that have happened on Walking Dead Classic and just some other things that have gone on, I'm getting a little sick and tired of all these pioneer women shooting out babies without hospitals and vaccines and everything and having it all be fine most of the time. I don't like it. So I feel very badly for the ending, and it kind of hits me, but it's very good storytelling because I'm sick and tired of these easy labors in an apocalypse. So it was better storytelling to do this, and I'm happy about that. Joan and I are both pissy with that key, though. I do absolutely think it's to the nuclear sub that will allow them to kill everybody on the surface. I think that's what the penultimate episode, USS Philadelphia, is going to be about. Jonah's mentioned that if her son had been born in a post-technology world, they probably both would have died. So she agrees on the labor comments. You know, like I said, I'm not unfeeling to a story like that. It hits way too close to home, but it is appropriate and not often enough that this series be a bit closer to what reality is likely to be in a scenario that they've got set up there. So I give them props for that part, and that's about all I got to say on that. So I will see you guys next weekend for the episode JD, episode 13, the 82nd of the series. That'll be May 16th. Writers Nick Bernadoni and Jacob Pinion, directed by Aisha Tyler. And that's about all I got to say on that. So thank you not only to everybody who joined us tonight, but those of you who might be listening later via podcast, iTunes, et cetera, the Blog Talk Radio website, however you get hold of our show. Special appreciation always to our host, NDB Media, and also to Joan for helping me. We hope you guys will join us next weekend for another live watch party on the same network. Please watch our Facebook page for showtimes and episode links. We will see you guys next time, and thank you for joining us. So good night.